preacher stood before his church and was preaching, and he said, for a church to grow, you're going to have to crawl. Got an amen from over here, and over here somebody said, let it crawl. He said, after you crawl, if a church is going to grow, you got to learn how to walk. Somebody said, amen. Over here somebody said, let it walk. This is in a southern church. He said, and after you learn how to walk, if a church is going to grow, church got to learn how to run. Somebody said, amen. Another guy said, let her run. He said, if a church learns how to run, it's going to grow. Going to take money. Crowd got quiet. Crowd got quiet, other than the baby crying. He said, going to grow, going to take money, and just got silent. Somebody back in the back said, let it crawl. Okay, I've been all right up until now, but when she interrupts my jokes. Because they're bad enough to start with. They don't need any. All right. Ecclesiastes chapter 10. And this morning we're going to try to get through the entire first verse. We really are. That's about as far as we're going to go this morning. I'm going to go ahead and tell you that Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 1, is one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible. You're going to look at this verse and say, are you kidding me? It's one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible. The Bible just has a way, God has a way of just putting things. Man, stab you right in the gut. And just so much emotion packed into this. There's so much truth right here. Why would this be one of my favorite verses that talks about dead flies and stuff stinking? Because, man, the truth here is such a life-changing thing if we would get a hold of this and live by this every day. Probably Ecclesiastes 10:1, people like to have what they call life verses. It's their favorite verse that they like to quote or they like to write down. I like Romans 16:1, and it's on the cards back there with our phone number and everything. I like that. I like, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. I like that verse. Probably nobody ever chose Ecclesiastes 10:1 as their life verse, but I'm telling you, this is one of my favorite verses because of all the truth that is packed into this one verse. We're going to look at it this morning, and then tonight we will be in the rest of the chapter. But Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 1 says, dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor. So doth a little folly him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor. God, help me this morning, please, to just keep my mind on you and the word, and help me to preach, and help us all to just dig in and be changed by your word this morning. This is such a profound verse, and there's so much here we need to learn. Help us to do that today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We'll start by a little bit of definition. Most of you probably know this, maybe all of you know this, but the apothecary was a person. Sometimes they would call the shop maybe the apothecary, but the apothecary was a person. That was a title. And what the apothecary was is he was basically a pharmacist. We call them pharmacists now, and back then they called them apothecaries. And he was a pharmacist, and what he would do is he would make medicines, he would make ointments, he would make perfumes and things like that. And in those days, what they used before the days of, who knows what they use now, all, you know, different chemicals or whatever it is that they use. But back then, it was, if you go the all-natural route, this would have been your heyday back then. It was the spices and herbs and things from the ground and things that God had put in the earth. And so that's what the apothecary did. They took these things that had medicinal qualities and then they would make medicine out of them. They would make salves and balms and ointments and all of these things. Now, because of what they used, these ointments and these different things that they made would have had a very pleasing smell. Okay, you think about maybe some of you grow herbs in your garden. I don't know how many of you do a garden, and those of you that do, I don't know if anybody does herbs. Maybe you put out some thyme or some basil or some oregano, but those things smell good. My friend, when I was growing up, his mother, she had a little shack outside that she grew these things in, and in the house she had things like that, and their home just had this certain smell, and it was, I'll smell things today that will remind me of their home, and it's because of all that stuff. This past summer, whenever we had our garden, I put in some basil, and I put in some oregano. And they're small plants, but boy, you want to talk about strong. I mean, they have a good scent. One day I had the tiller out there going in between the rows, and I accidentally got into the oregano, into the spices, you know, with the tiller and tore some of it up. And boy, you could really smell it then. But they have a pleasing smell. And so when you take those things and they would make these ointments and these medicines and everything, these things would have a pleasing odor to them. Well, in this verse here, it says dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary, or the ointment that the apothecary makes, to send forth a stinking savor. So it's talking about these flies getting into the ointment. Okay, it's talking about them getting into that ointment, and they die, and then they begin to, anything that dies starts to rot and starts to decay, and it starts to stink. And it likens that to the same thing as to a little folly in the life of a man who is known for wisdom and honor. Now you think about flies and just how I realize that they serve a purpose. But they're a nasty little insect. Welcome to Sunday morning at Faith Baptist. But boy, we got to understand this to really get a hold of it. Fly is a nasty insect. You know what? It begins as, what do they begin as? Maggots. And nobody likes maggots. I won't stay on this long. You'll be all right. And then it grows to a fly, and you realize that flies help to decompose things. Okay, they have a purpose. If we didn't have flies, if we didn't have spiders, as nasty as they are, possums and buzzards and things like that. These are all gross things, but they serve a purpose. I mean, if not, something would die and then we just sit there and we would, the smell would be terrible. But God has provided these things to get rid of those things. But they're nasty little things, aren't they? Flies. You go to a family reunion or something and there's all this food sitting out in the summertime and if flies get in things, normally you dip that part out and get rid of it. Why? Well, nobody says, oh, I don't mind, you know. Oh, there's a fly in my soup. Do you have any more? Nobody says that because it's gross. Nobody wants to eat that. They're disgusting little things. But they are little, aren't they? Those little bitty things get in something like an ointment and they die and they decay and that ointment's ruined. It stinks. And here in this passage, we see a contrast made. First of all, that a good reputation, a good name, wisdom and honor, being known as someone of wisdom and honor, that is likened to ointment, the ointment of the apothecary. And that folly, sin, is likened to these dead flies. And so I want to look at that this morning. And why would we spend an entire service on this one verse? There's just so much in this one verse that needs to affect our lives. If we walk out of here with one thought today, if I could really just sum up the whole sermon this morning, I think it would be be on guard. Watch yourself. Be careful. Because of the consequences of even just a little bit of sin or a little bit of folly in somebody's life. This idea of comparing yourself to other people and saying, you know what, that's not as bad as that what that person did. And you are on the road to being as bad as that other person. You are on the road to worse things. We have to take every single little bitty thing and say, hey, if that's not right, if that doesn't line up with God's word, it doesn't belong in my life because it could ruin my witness. It could ruin the effectiveness that I have for Jesus Christ. It could ruin my testimony. Even that little thing. And that little thing can lead to bigger things. That little thing can lead to something else. But let's look at this contrast that's made here and break this down in this first verse. First of all, it talks about wisdom and honor. Just like the ointment, okay, this ointment, I want you to think specifically about that ointment that they would make. That ointment that they would make required work and effort. Okay, it took work, it took effort to put this together and to make sure that it didn't have too much of one thing, not enough of something else. And sometimes whenever you're, I know in chemistry, I was terrible in chemistry when I was in school, but I know in chemistry, certain things react differently with other things, and then you can have two things that won't do well together, but you can bring in a third agent, and then it'll cause them to work. You know, I remember that much. But you had to be very careful in making this ointment. It took work. It took work, and to know, well, this is good for these ailments, and this ointment is good for these ailments. It took work, and it took time. Wisdom and honor in your life, if you're going to have a reputation of wisdom and honor, you will not get it overnight. It takes work, it takes hard work, it takes time. You don't get saved, and then the next morning, everybody in the neighborhood automatically knows you as the man full of wisdom and honor. Depending on the kind of when you got saved and the kind of life that you lived before, it may be a while before they forget you were the one that had the drunken parties every Saturday night. It may be a while before they forget that you were the one who was always flicking his cigarette butts over their fence. It may be a while before they forget you were the one who always came home with a different man or a different woman. You're not going to get saved and then step out on your front porch the next morning and the whole street says, oh, that man's full of wisdom and honor. Okay, you're saved and you're standing before God is secure, it is settled, but you're standing before man, it's going to take some work. They're going to have to see, ah, that's a different person. They don't do that anymore. They've been changed. Reputations, good reputations, take time. They take work. A bad reputation does not. You can get one just like that, can't you? And a good reputation can be ruined just like that. We'll get to that in a minute. But it takes time. If you go to Exodus chapter 30, God makes no mistakes in the illustrations that He uses whenever He teaches us. And there's a reason why ointment is being used as an illustration. In Exodus chapter 30 and verse 34. Pardon me. And the Lord said unto Moses, take unto thee sweet spices, stacte and onycha and gabanum, these sweet spices with pure frankincense, of each shall there be a like weight, and thou shalt make it a perfume, a confection after the art of the apothecary. Now look, tempered together, pure and holy. Okay, so it was something, ointment was something that was, that took work to put together. You had to get all these different ingredients and put this thing together. And then if you go over to Proverbs chapter 2, so ointment takes work. The ointment of the apothecary. You don't come by it easy. A reputation of wisdom and honor is the same thing. Let's keep this in mind as we go through this. We are not talking about salvation. We are not talking about earning God's favor. We are not talking about earning God's grace. You can't. You can't earn salvation. You can't earn God's love, grace, mercy, favor, nothing. We are talking about where, we're not talking about where we stand before God. We're talking about where we stand before men. Okay? God knows who we are on the inside. Man doesn't. They need to see it on the outside. And that sometimes takes time and takes some work and takes some effort. Okay? We could all put on shirts saying, I am saved, I have been bought with the blood of the Lamb. How many people in today's society would look at that and even know what that meant? They need to see the change in our life, and we need to have that good reputation. Proverbs chapter 2, 1 through 9, it talks about how this needs to be something that we work at. It says, my son, if thou wilt receive my words, okay, so first we have to hear it, and hide my commandments with thee. Well, to hide them, you're going to have to learn them. Okay? Make them a part of your who you are. So that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom. Make it a point to listen to the right things. Incline thine ear unto wisdom. There's all these voices out there. There's all this stuff that we could listen to. Make it a point to listen to the right things and to turn off the wrong things. And that applies in so many areas of our life. That is, too often we relegate that to one little group, and we think it's just what we watch on television and what we listen to on the radio. And that's part of it, okay? We ought not be watching anything ungodly. We ought not be listening to anything ungodly. What's it going to teach you? Is it going to make you more godly? No, it's going to make you more ungodly. But it goes beyond that. What do you read? What voices are you listening to at work? What philosophies are you buying into from the guy at the next station or cash register or whatever it is? Who are you spending your time with? Yes, what's coming through the radio waves? What's coming across that television? Not just that. Who's coming through the front door? Do you make it a point to spend time with people that are going to encourage you to be more godly, or do you not really care? You just spend time with people that you have fun with. Is this person someone who is going to encourage me to be more like Christ? Is what I'm seeing, what I'm hearing, what I'm reading, who I'm listening to, who I'm spending my time with, am I inclining my ear unto wisdom? Am I trying to hear good things? Or is this stuff that's not going to help me be more wise in what God wants me to be? Well, Pastor, I come here once a week, twice a week, three, four times a week and listen to you. I don't go home with you. And if you think that two or three services in here will counteract and clean up a whole week of listening to the wrong voices, there's a battle going on there. We have to make sure that we're not just in the Word, we're not just in prayer, we're not just in church. It begins there, that's important. But in every facet of my life, what am I letting in? What's affecting me? Is this making me more wise? Is this godly wisdom? Or do I get that just when I pray and read and just when I go to church, but the rest of the time, that's my time? So are we inclining our... See, it takes work. Am I inclining my ear unto wisdom? Now look, and apply thy heart to understanding. When you get that wisdom, are you trying to do the right thing with it? Okay, are you trying to make sure that you're using it correctly? Do I understand what's going on? Let me ask you this. Do you read God's Word? Do you read God's Word or do you study to know God's Word? We can read anything. There are things that we just read and then forget them. And there are things that are fine. You read a news article and you forget it. Okay, fine. You read the Sunday funnies and you forget them. Fine. You read little tidbits about people and forget them. Fine. The Bible is a book to be studied and to be learned and to be made a part of us so that it will change us. So it says, now look here. If thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures. Boy, some people will just spend years and hundreds and thousands of dollars in pursuit of some hobby or some dream that they have. What about the wisdom and the treasures of God's Word? How much time do you spend mining out? You think about a miner and the work that they do. That's hard work. Some of the most dangerous work is to be a miner. What do? Man, they have to dig and dig and dig and dig. And then they have, once they get down there, whatever they're mining, coal, diamonds, whatever, you have to get this stuff out of there and then get it out of the pit and then it has to be processed and refined and everything. How do you approach God's Word? Do you look at God's Word and say, yeah, you know what, that's kind of tough? Or do you say, you know what, that's kind of tough. I'm going to have to study that out, find out what that means. Are the riches to be found in God's Word more precious to you than any silver or gold could be? Well, silver or gold may change certain things about your life temporarily, but the Word of God will change who you are and make you what God wants you to be. Now look, it says, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. That's why it matters who we listen to. And this thought of, well, you know, these people I hang out with, they're not saved, but you know, I'm trying to... Hey, you don't cut ties, you keep witnessing, you try to lead them to God, but you had better watch your fellowship, because if you're spending too much free time with these people, you will be the one influenced in a bad way. I've told you the story of Charles Spurgeon, and a woman came into his office and she was a Christian and the man that she wanted to marry was not. And he was counseling her not to do this. It would be an unequal yoke. And she said, well, I believe that if we get married, I'll be able to lead him to Christ. And he told her to stand on his desk. And she stood up on his desk and he reached up and he took her by the hand and he said, now pull me up there to where you are. And she couldn't do it. He said, but I can easily pull you down here to where I am. There's a reason why that old saying, one bad apple spoils the bunch. You take a rotten apple, you take a rotten anything and put it in with good food, that good food will not take the rot out of that rotten food. But it'll all start to rot and decay, won't it? And so how do my friends get saved then? You keep talking to them. You keep sharing the gospel with them. You keep praying for them. But we're talking about times of fellowship. There's a point where we have to draw the line and say, you know what, I can't do that. I can't spend that much time with those people anymore. They have to see that something's different. And plus, I don't want to be affected that way. And it says here, He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of the saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. You're not getting there if you don't do the work. People say, I want to know more about God. Then how much time do we spend in His Word? Studying it. Because that's how you know more about God. I want to be a better Christian. Then how much time do you spend in God's Word and letting it change you and being obedient to you? Ointment, this ointment, one of the reasons why it was precious was what went into it, and it took some work. It took some work. This was the man's life work. That's what he did. Anybody couldn't just go out and get it. You needed somebody who knew what they were doing to put this together. It took work. But you know what? Anything worth having does take work. And anything that's acquired by hard work is of great importance, and therefore it ought to be guarded. So if you are someone, as it says here, him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor, if that's what you're known for, if you have had to work, if you have had to, if you have gotten in God's Word and you have set certain standards in your life and things have changed and you've worked toward these things and now you have this reputation of wisdom and honor, you had to work for that, you're going to guard it, aren't you? Nobody spends $20,000 on a car and then never washes it. You say, I had paid a lot of money for that. I want to take care of that. Nobody builds their own house and then lets it go to ruin. No one who has wisdom. Smart people don't do that. You say, I had to put a lot of work into that thing. I'm going to take care of that. It cost me too much. This reputation that I have of being in wisdom and honor, it took a long time. It cost me so much. I'm going to guard it. I'm going to protect it. I'm going to make sure that it doesn't get tainted with those dead flies. I'm going to have to keep a constant eye on myself. And such is the life of a Christian. Why is ointment likened? Why is a good reputation of wisdom and honor likened to ointment? Well, another reason is because ointment was very beneficial. It was very beneficial in the things that it could do. So is a good reputation of wisdom and honor. So is a good reputation of wisdom and honor. I want you to step back just a couple of chapters to something that we've studied here recently in chapter 7. Chapter 7 and verse 1, what does it say? It says, a good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. Now go back to Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22 and verse 1. Proverbs 22 verse 1, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. We're not talking about popularity among the world. We're not talking about being known for being a good singer or a musician or this. We're talking about someone who is known for their witness and testimony of Jesus Christ. We're talking about somebody who is known for being honest and true and trustworthy and faithful to their God. We're talking about somebody who is known, not just what they can quote out of the Bible, but for how it has changed their life. Look, people are known for a lot of things that don't matter. I could name some names to you, and right away you would know something about that person. If I said to you, I don't know, maybe a few of the real young ones wouldn't, but most of us. If I said to you, Frank Sinatra, what's everybody think? Well, what's the one thing you think right away? Singing. Singing. Maybe movies. If I said, Vince Lombardi. What do you think? Football coach, wasn't he? Hey, not bad. On my part. Don't ask me who he coached, but I know he's a football coach. George Bush, either one, pick one. What do you think? President of the United States. Okay, in the grand scheme of things, what does any of that mean about those people? Nothing. What matters is, were they saved? Were they known for wisdom and honor? That's what matters. You see, you can know a lot of stuff about a lot of people, and there could be a lot of things that people know about you, but what matters is they ought to know that person is known for wisdom and honor. That person is known for being biblical in their thinking. That person is known for trying to live a holy life, a righteous life. That person is known for godliness. That's what matters. Why? Because that's what will point people to Jesus Christ. Maybe some of you had great accomplishments in high school. Maybe some of you were great athletes. Maybe you were on some debate team or a whatever team or what something, some club, and you had great accomplishments. Let me ask you, what does any of that matter today? I'll show you how little it matters. If any of you fit that bill, if any of you were a very good athlete or you were on some, you know, your 4-H did great or you were on some, whatever, I'll show you how little that matters. I don't know that about any of you. And the person sitting next to you probably doesn't either unless you're related to that person. They might not even know. Wisdom and honor, that's the reputation that we want. Because that will point people to Christ. Ointment, it can soothe and it can heal, and a good name is regarded by God as being far better than something like ointment. Far better than something like ointment. So here's ointment that can help your physical body, and God says, hey, having a good name, good reputation, that's better than anything that could help your body. What good is a healthy body when inside it beats the heart of a fool? What matters? What's it matter if in here? What's it matter? And then we come to folly. So we see the importance. I hope we see from God's word the importance of this biblical wisdom and honor and a good name and that reputation. And this is not a thing of arrogance. It's not, well, I'm known for this, so I can look down. No, this is being known to be of God. This is being known of someone who has wisdom and honor because, you know what, they're just trying to live by this book. They're just trying to live by this book. I'm not trying to puff anybody up, but let me point this out to you. If you're sitting there wondering, I wonder if, am I on that right? Am I on that path? Let me ask you this. Are you the one at work that people want to come and talk to when so-and-so's in jail, so-and-so just found out they had cancer, so-and-so needs this, so-and-so? Is that what people know about you? Hey, would you pray? I know you're a Christian. Would you pray? Could be on the path of being known for wisdom and honor. Now, if that never crosses their mind, might not be on that path. Are you the one that is shunned at the family get-togethers because of your beliefs and because what you won't take part in and all? Well, you're probably on that path. I want to be very careful how I say that because only God knows that path that you're on. I don't want to give anybody a false sense. I'm just saying these are some things that we can kind of tell. What am I known for? What do people think about whenever they see me? I hope it's biblical things because that will point them to Christ. Then we move over to, I know we don't want to talk about it, but we got to talk about these dead flies. Folly is likened to these dead flies. Flies alone are bad enough. We already talked about that. They're disgusting little insects. Is a fly an insect? Is it classified as an insect? Okay, Jim says it is. And Jim knows because he has reptiles and he feeds them insects, so he would know. They're nasty little insects. I have been told, and I do not know if this is true, but I have been told that when a fly lands on something that it's going to eat, that it vomits on that before it eats whatever it lands on. I know, folks. But God said dead flies for a reason. They're nasty. I talk like this maybe once a year. You can hang with me for a few more minutes. They're just disgusting little creatures. Then can you imagine a dead one getting in that ointment and it decays? Possums are nasty too. They'll eat anything. Buzzards and things like that, they're just nasty. And here, he's talking about this nasty little insect that gets in there and then it dies and it rots and it decays and it ruins everything. And God says, a little bit of sin in the life of a Christian, someone who has a good reputation of wisdom and honor, a little bit of sin is the same as that dead, rotting, nasty, decaying little insect. And it causes that ointment to stink. And the most fascinating thing about this is that it only takes a little bit. A good reputation can sometimes take a lifetime to earn and only seconds to lose. A man who has been approached by the same lewd woman for years at work, who's trying to lure him away from his wife and trying to get him to commit sin, he may for 6, 7, 8, 9 years resist her. But the one time that he takes 5 seconds to give it a second thought and gives in, those 9 years matter about that much, don't they? About that much. A man who has built the reputation at work as being as honest as the day is long, straight as an arrow. And then when he's put in charge of the petty cash fund, and it just takes a second's decision to slip a little bit into his pocket, and then he gets caught, that little bitty thing, that little bitty thing can ruin it all, can't it? If you have a good, faithful marriage and you've always been faithful to your spouse, 20 years of faithfulness doesn't matter if that one time might take another 20 to get that trust back. That's what God's saying here. It only takes that little bit. We're not talking about before God, we're talking about before men. It only takes that little tiny bit to ruin it. So these flies, it doesn't take much. And sin, it doesn't take much. That good reputation of wisdom and honor may take years to get. Well, if it did, you ought to guard it for the precious thing that it is. You ought to guard it like it's one of your children. You wouldn't take your child to the doctor, and the doctor says, we found a few cancerous cells. Now, it's very small, very small. And I'm sure that we can get it, and it's not going to... You wouldn't say, you know what, it's only a few, let's not worry about it. You'd say, no, what do we have to do? Let's get that wiped out before it gets even worse. Why? Because your child is precious to you. You would do anything to guard that child. Treat your testimony and your witness, your reputation for God, treat it the same way. View all of those little things as cancerous cells that could grow and grow and grow, as a rotting fly that just gets worse and worse and worse, a rotting piece of fruit that's just going to keep decaying. Treat it the same way and guard against that. Guard against that. Because it only takes a little bit. How many people could tell us stories of little ailments that they had and they ignored it and ignored it and ignored it, and then they ignored it too long? I knew a man, used to go to church with him, who knew that he had heart problems. And when he was, I think maybe he was late 50s, early 60s, had a heart attack and died. After that, I found out that if this, and I believe this was reliable truth here, after that I had heard that he told the doctor, when he had gone to the doctor before, that he didn't want to know how bad his heart was. So he knew there was a problem, but he didn't want to know how bad the problem was and didn't do anything about it. And he went home, late 50s, early 60s. Ignore something little and just see if it stays little. Let just a little bit of the wrong influence in and see if it remains a little bit of the wrong influence. I knew a couple. Boy, they were growing. They were running. Everything seemed great. I don't know what happened. But something happened along the way. This is a couple who went through a discipleship program, led others in the discipleship program. We were very close to them. Boy, they just seemed to be soaking everything up. Within about 6 months, he's leaving his wife, he's divorcing his wife, and she's got a restraining order against him. Now, who knows what it was, but something slipped in there at some point that wasn't dealt with, and it grew to that point. That doesn't happen overnight. Things like that grow to that point. Church, we've got to guard. We got to get in God's Word, and we got to grow and learn. And when we have that reputation, we have to guard it. Because what good is tainted ointment? What good is ointment that stinks? And it's, what are you going to do with it? You don't drink bad milk. You don't eat rotten food. You don't take expired medicines. What good is it? It's no good. So how ought we treat these things? Let's close with a few verses out of the New Testament. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 27. Here's a life verse for you. Another one you probably never heard anybody claim as their verse. And it ought be for every one of us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, I'll tell you while you're turning there, Paul is talking about not salvation. If you think he's talking about salvation, you're going to have some major doctrinal problems. He's talking about our service, the life that we live before men, trying to lead others to Christ, this good reputation, running this race for God. What people see. Let me ask you. Again, what do people see? What do they think? What do they know about you? What about all the little things that have to do with you? What if somebody gets in the passenger seat of your car and you're taking them somewhere? What does that say about you? What do they see in the car? If they come into your home, what do they see? If they visit your Facebook page, what do you see? Because by the way, who you are online does matter. Some people think it has nothing. It does. And a lot of times, if you really want to know who a person is, you go online. And that's one of the reasons why we try to stay away from that stuff. Stuff you just don't want to know. What do people think when they look at you? I don't care what people think. You better if you want to be a good witness and testimony for Jesus Christ. We're not talking about being arrogant. We're talking about, do you want people to look at you and see a good witness and testimony for Jesus Christ that will point their eyes to Him? And you ought, because that's what a disciple is supposed to be. Okay, How do I guard that? When I look at all these little things in my life, all these things, who I spend my time with, what I'm reading, where I'm going, who I let in the home, what's influencing me, what do I do? Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 is talking about that race, that work, that service for God. And he says in verse 27, go back to verse 26. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, which means, hey, this life matters. The way I live matters. My testimony, my witness matters. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Paul is saying, at any moment I could do something that would cause me to be unprofitable for the work of God. He's not talking about salvation. That's nowhere in the chapter. He's not saying God's going to kick him out. He's saying, if I don't keep a close eye and a close rein on everything, bring everything into subjection, is this right? Does this line up with God's word? Is this the wrong thing for me to do? Is this the right? If I don't do that, I have read that this language, pardon me, the way that this is written, when he says, keep under my body, that back when this was written, that literally meant to beat something in the face. Keep the flesh down and keep all of that into subjection. Why? So that I don't lose my witness and my testimony and become someone who's unprofitable. So a dead fly doesn't come in there and ruin that ointment. So that then God can't use me because I've messed up my testimony. Now I'm going to have to go someplace else. Now I'm going to have to get that reputation built back up. What if somebody doesn't hear the gospel or is discouraged because of my life? Now, we're all responsible for how we respond to the gospel. But are you making it easier or harder for people to respond to the gospel? What if there's something there? What does Christ tell us in Matthew chapter 5? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. He says that you are salt and light. And what happens if the salt loses its savor? It can't do anything. In Matthew chapter 5, he tells us that if the salt loses its savor, it's no good. We're salt and light. But what good salt once it's gone bad? It can't preserve. It can't add flavor. It can't... You know something else that salt does? Oh, this is fascinating. I just learned this here recently. I didn't know salt did this. And it makes that verse open up even more. Okay, salt can preserve, salt can add flavor. You know what else salt does? To meat, salt opens up meat and brings out more of the natural flavor. It draws. I didn't realize that until here lately. I heard somebody talking about that. It draws out. We are salt and light to this world. Okay, what are you drawing out of others? Are you encouraging other Christians with your walk and with your life? Colossians chapter 4, and then we'll look at one place in Galatians and be done. Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 5. What, does it really matter how I live? Absolutely. Colossians 4, 5. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Who's without? Lost people. You be careful how you walk before lost people because they are watching and they need to be saved. And you're the one that God has appointed to tell them how to be saved. We are His witnesses. And then finally, go back to Galatians chapter 5. What does that matter? It's only a little bit. What's it matter? You know, it's just this little thing. Yeah, those flies are real little and they ruin the whole ointment. It's no good. It stinks. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 9. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. It's talking about leaven is yeast. And those of you that cook know that it only takes a little bit to make a whole loaf of bread rise. It only takes a little bit. You don't put a ton of it in there or you're in trouble. It just takes a little bit. Just takes a little tiny bit. The world's watching. They will notice. You can say this is unfair all day long. This is scripture. This is how it is. The world is watching. They will notice and they will condemn things in you that they will excuse in themselves and their lost friends. They will hold Christians to a higher standard. You say, that's not fair. Why isn't it? God holds us to a higher standard. God holds us to a higher standard and says, come out from among them and be ye separate. Abstain from all appearances of evil. Don't act like that. You are representing me now. When Brother Jeremy Combs was here, we were talking about the proper length of a necktie. And if you didn't know it, there is a proper length. A necktie is supposed to touch the very top of your belt buckle, at most the middle. Someone tell Donald Trump. Man wears his necktie down to his knees. But your necktie is supposed to... And we were talking about that. I don't know how we got in that, but we were talking about that. And he was saying when he was in Bible college and they would go out, the college would send them out, they were taught that because they had this dress code. Why? The college wanted to make sure that these young men were a good representation of the institution. Now, you can say that's overboard or whatever. The fact is, they wanted people to be presentable because it reflected upon the school. Your employer wants you to be presentable. It reflects upon the business. God wants you to be presentable in your life, in everything that you do, because you represent Him and it reflects upon Him. And the world is going to, they're not going to care if that guy runs out on his wife, but if the Christian does it, now it's a scandal. Because even they know enough to say, well, I didn't think he would do that. I figured he would. He's no better than me, but I thought he was a Christian. They're watching. It matters. They will hold you to a higher standard. God holds us to a higher standard. We are called to be light to these people, to the world, to the lost. This task is great. Let us take it seriously. So if you walk out of here today thinking, how could I sum everything up? It only takes one little bitty dead fly to ruin that precious ointment. Church, get a fly swatter. Get a fly swatter. Kill them. Keep them out. Don't let them in. Don't let them in. That's exactly what I was going to say, Brother Dwayne. I said that and he held up his Bible. And right before he did, I was going to say, here's your fly swatter. Get it out. Don't even let it in. Because it doesn't take long before the ointment has been ruined. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, I'm thankful that in verses like Ecclesiastes 10:1, you tell us about these dead flies and the ointment, and then we can go all over the Bible and read even more verses that explain to us what this means and how important it is. And my prayer this morning is that you would deal with each and every one of us. Show us the dead flies in our life. Show us those things that are, if we don't deal with them, they're going to end up spoiling the ointment and ruining our reputation and making us unprofitable for your work. Show us those things. Help us to change those things and deal with those things and help us to understand the importance that the reason this needs to be done is because we are your ambassadors. We are your representatives. We are here to tell people about you so that they won't spend eternity in hell. And we've got to make sure that the vessel remains pure. Deal with us this morning. Lord, any one of us that has anything that needs to be dealt with, bring it to our attention right now. Help us to deal with it, repent of it, ask your forgiveness and get it out of our lives before it spoils the ointment. Just deal with us right now as we pray, as we sing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.